Good day. We got Jason Jessup here, CEO of Magma Mining. Great to have you. We are here at the 25 Rick Rule Conference, the symposium. How's that going for you so far?
Yeah, Steve, it's been a really great conference. We were here last year. I think this year is even better.
Yeah? This is my first year. I'm enjoying it quite a bit. If you can tell us about yourself and what you guys do.
Yeah, so I founded Magna Mining back in 2016. And really, the inspiration behind that was a previous company I'd worked for called FNX Mining. Okay. So in Sudbury, FNX went and acquired five past producing mines from Inco. And Inco was one of the major mining companies, been mining in Sudbury for over 100 years. They acquired five past producing non-core assets from them. And, you know, very quickly brought one back into production, made some discoveries. I joined the team in 2005. And from 2005 to 2010, we were able to bring two more mines into production, make a couple more significant discoveries, and we got acquired for $1.5 billion. So it was a fantastic ride. It was so much fun. Great team, great culture. I stuck around with the new company called Quadra FNX. And in 2012, Quadra FNX was acquired for $3 billion.
Wow.
So I moved on, did some other things. But by 2016, I recognized that KGHM, who had bought Quadra FNX, recognized these assets to be non-core again. So much like they were to Inco previously, now they're back in the hands of a major mining company that do not look at these as core assets to them. So this was the opportunity. So I founded Magna in 2016, made our first acquisition in 2017, took the company public in 2021. In 2022, made a second acquisition of another past producing mine in Sudbury, Ontario. And then just this year, we acquired eight properties from KGHM, including the producing McCreedy West copper mine, the Levack mine that's on care and maintenance, Podolsky mine that's on care and maintenance, and five exploration properties. So these are the core FNX properties that I previously operated. So it's kind of come full circle. So really trying to leverage on that experience we had and create, you know, another great North American base metal, precious metal mining company.
Could you tell us about your flagship project, jurisdiction, what's their infrastructure? Where are you guys in the cycle?
So right now, our flagship is the McCreedy West mine. As I mentioned, we just acquired it in February of this year.
Okay.
It is a producing copper mine, has produced Inco for about 25 years, producing about 15 million tons of ore from underground. And then it was restarted by FNX Mining in 2003, has been running continuously for the last 22 years. Produced probably another 7 or 8 million tons since then. So currently we're in production. We have a great workforce at the mine. We're producing copper-rich ores with lots of precious metal byproducts. And our business model is to sell that ore to Vale's mill in Sudbury or Glencore's mill. So our entire business is all situated around Sudbury. And Sudbury is one of the premier mining jurisdictions in North America. Like I said, mining for over 100 years, currently has 9 mines, two large processing plants, one owned by Vale, one owned by Glencore, as well as two nickel smelters, actually the only two nickel smelters that are located and operating in North America.
So you're a copper play and a nickel play.
Yeah, I think we have great optionality to nickel. Right now, 70% or more of our revenues are coming from copper, with the remaining 30% coming from platinum, palladium, gold, silver, nickel, and a little bit of cobalt. But yeah, we really got a great optionality on nickel prices. Once we see higher nickel price again, we can turn our nickel zones on quite quickly.
I think copper, you're seeing a huge shortage, I mean, for supply and demand. And then you got nickel, who is probably very unloved, unfortunately, which it's, I mean, we're probably talking about lows on nickel. Would you agree with that? And where do you see the need for these things?
Yeah, so speaking to copper first, I agree with you. There is definitely going to be a supply shortage. And with that, I think demand will continue to grow as we've seen, and probably even more as we continue to electrify the world. We're going to need more copper. So I do feel very bullish that there's a lot of upside in the copper price. Now, nickel sort of hit all-time highs back in 2022.
Okay.
And since then has been beaten down to where I would say now it's kind of found a comfortable bottom, just below $7 US a pound. I do believe, much like I've seen over the last 25 years that I've been in this business working in the Sudbury Basin and watching nickel prices, nickel is a volatile market. It goes up and down. When you're in the lows, people think it's going to stay down forever, and then it takes off, and people think it's never going to stop. And that's what nickel does. So I do believe that over the next 3 to 4 years, we're going to see again a great run in the price of nickel. I do believe that that is inevitable, and it could be for a number of different factors. So we have that optionality to turn it on, because we are just selling ore to existing mills that have a lot of excess capacity.
Yeah.
And then, again, if prices drop, you know, sometime after that, we can cut back on that production, focus more on our copper zones. But we have that kind of flexibility.
So in regards to copper, the mines you have, what do you have there? I mean, what do you have in terms of amount, you think? Ounces? What are you looking at, grade? I mean, what do you got?
So we have a lot. So our McCreedy West mine has a current resource, NI 43-101, of about 9.3 million tons of resource, running at about 3.7% copper equivalent. Again, it's a polymetallic, but largely made up of copper, but about 3.7 copper equivalent. And between our McCreedy West, our Crane Hill, and our Shakespeare project, we have about 48 million tons of resource right now on the books. And then we have our Levack mine, our Podolsky mine, and our Kirkwood that all have historic resources that will be coming out with compliant resources.
Yeah.
But currently within our NI 43-101 compliant resources, we have about 760 million pounds of copper contained, about 740 million pounds of nickel contained, and about 2.6 million ounces of platinum, palladium, gold. So significant tonnage, significant amount of metal.
Wow.
We have one permitted mine in production that we're investing capital in this year to ramp up, and then we have four other fully permitted past producing mines that we can bring on using that cash flow over the next 3 to 4 years.
So 3 or 4 years, could you give us a brief, like 3, 6 month, 9 month? I mean, what's your immediate plan? Could you give us a milestone of what you're thinking?
Sure. So as I said, we just acquired the McCreedy West mine, Levack mine, Podolsky mine, some exploration properties in February. McCreedy right now is our focus. We are investing in the range of $8 to $10 million this year in additional capital to do more underground development, access more different workplaces, give us more flexibility in our production plan, do more diamond drilling. That's going to set us up this year that by the end of the year we'll be at a steady state production rate that we believe is optimal for that mine.
Yeah.
And that'll carry us through 2026, where we believe in 2026, we're going to have strong cash flows coming out of McCreedy West. So that's kind of the focus. Now, as we're doing that, we're also working on our restart plan and exploration at the neighboring Levack mine. So that would be most likely our next mine that we want to bring into production. It is went on care and maintenance in 2019. It has a shaft. It has a small team of about 12 people that are keeping everything in good working order. They go underground daily. And we have two diamond drills turning there that we just put out some fantastic drill results from Levack earlier today, where we intersected up to intersections of 25% copper. So extremely high grades. So it's a great mine. We're really excited. And it does have a historic resource. And we'll be putting out a compliant resource later this year in conjunction with giving more direction on when we will plan to restart.
Exciting times.
It is.
Can we shift a little bit to the share structure? If you can talk about outstanding shares outstanding, if you can talk about warrants and words written at options.
Yeah, so we have about 200 million shares currently outstanding. We have about 25 million warrants that are at 40.5 cents that expire in November. So we expect to see some cash coming in. Currently, we're trading around $1.80 Canadian on the TSXV under the ticker symbol NICU, nickel copper. You know, we ended Q1 with about $38 million Canadian in the treasury. So we're funded for this year for what we want to do, the investment we want to make in McCreedy West, as well as our exploration in G&A. So we believe we're really set up very well, and we have a excellent roster of shareholders led by Dundee Corp, which is our largest shareholder, owning a little over 20% of the company, and Jonathan Goodman, who runs Dundee, sits on our board. They've been very supportive since we went public in 2021 and continue to be supportive of what we're trying to accomplish in Sudbury.
So what percentage of insiders and institutions consist? Or if you can break down the percentage?
Yeah, so management and board own about 8%, with myself being about 5% of that. As I said, Dundee, who's on the board, excluding that, owns a little over 20%. But institutions make up around 50% of our current holdings, with retail investors obviously making up the rest.
Well, I mean, I believe in the sector. Just for our listeners, I am not currently an investor, although that may plan to change, because I do believe that copper, and I just came from a lunch where people were saying that nickel is probably the most unloved but should be loved asset. And so in terms of the fact that you guys have both is very attractive. For all these mining companies here or that are out there, for investors that are looking to invest in copper or nickel, why you guys?
Well, I think that we are one of the few junior copper mining companies that is investable, highly de-risked, and there is no other company out there that you can point to that has a growth profile like ours, where we have a producing mine in a well-established, known jurisdiction. There's no additional infrastructure needed. Everything is there. It's turnkey. We have permits in place. So we can just add capital, restart our Levack mine, restart our Crane Hill mine, restart our Podolsky mine, potentially in 4 years, having four mines all generating revenue, and it would be very significant. Yeah. So the growth profile has been very good. I think we have a team that has done it before with FNX and exited with a $1.5 billion sale of the company. I think we have a lot of growth ahead of us, and I'm really excited for what the next couple of years are going to hold.
Well, looking forward to following your story. So thanks for being here. For our listeners that are looking to reach out for questions, I know that you mentioned your ticker again, but if you can give the ticker where you're trading, as well as website or way to contact you.
Yeah, absolutely. So anyone that wants to get a hold of us, they can reach out on our website, magnamining.com, go to the info section, and there's contact information on there. My email address is very simple, jason.jessup@magnamining.com. It's on all our presentations. So people can send me an email, and I'll get back to them, you know, within a few days. And yeah, and again, you know, just we try to be very transparent. We have a great following on co.ca and a great community there. And if people post questions to the management, we generally get back to them within 24 hours.
Well, Jason, thanks so much for your time. And again, I enjoy this.
Thank you
for sharing
great
about
Steve.
Your company.